I almost said something really bad, and I'm glad I didn't. I almost said, because my wife. But I didn't say it, so we're in good shape. Am I in trouble yet, Tom? Okay. All right. My wife loves me, you guys, and I love her. We'll make it through this. Open your Bibles quickly, if you will, to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. It's the first gospel in the Bible. It's what we call one of the synoptic gospels, if you're in here and on the academic level and know what that means. But anyway, Matthew chapter 2. I want to read, if I can, briefly to you in chapter 2, 1 through 12. And then I want to give you a couple quick points because I'm a Baptist preacher. And then we're going to have communion and we're going to go. So get with me, open your Bible, take your copy of God's Word. And the Bible says this. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Underline this next word. It says, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw the star when it rose and have come to worship him. Worship him. Underline that. The title of this message, even though I don't have it on the bulletin or anything for you on the board either, but I want you to hear this. The title of this message is Born to be Worshipped. Jesus was born to be worshipped. Now, just like these girls sang up here, that was great, by the way, girls. You guys need to go on the road, you know, and make yourself famous because that was good. But God is famous, and he sent Jesus so we could worship him. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, I want to just stay with me real fast. When Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everybody say all. All Jerusalem with him. What's all mean? I've taught this before. All means all, and that's all means. All right. All. So do you think I'm not going to get into this, but I'm going to give you this for free. Do you think just three wise men came to him, and then all of Jerusalem was like, wow, there was probably over 100 wise men. I'll preach that next year if you come back. All right, let's move on. Verse 4, and he was troubled with all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, where was this Christ to be born? And they told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet. And then they turned to the book of Micah in the Old Testament, 5:2. Micah 5:2 says this, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Verse 7, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and he ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem saying this. There's that word saying again. Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may too also go and worship him. And after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose when it had been before until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Verse 10. When they saw the star, listen to this. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Verse 11, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. We've seen this worshipped him three times so far that we've read. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country, underline, by another way, by another way. Quickly, I want to show you a response to Jesus. Everybody in this room, I believe today and tonight, and really in our whole community and everywhere we go, we talk about Christmas. And my wife even made this. See, I'm not the shopper in the family. My wife likes to shop. I don't. But she told me today, she said, Billy, everywhere I went shopping this year, people said, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. She said she hardly heard Happy Holiday. But actually, Happy Holiday, holiday means holy day. So they're both good. But anyway, Merry Christmas. And so she heard that. But what I've come to find out as a pastor and someone that likes to tell people about Jesus is that when I say the word Jesus, and this will happen in everybody in this room tonight as I look out here, when I say Jesus, I usually get one of three responses. And I want to share quickly with you what those three responses are. Two are no good, but one is great. I want to give you these three responses so that even where you are tonight, you say, you know what, that pastor, I hear you, and I want to make something different in my life. And maybe you're here tonight going, I'm with you. And here's what they are. Didn't try to do this, but they all start with the letter R. You know, I know that someone's going to call and say, Pastor, the 1980s called, they want their sermon back. But I'm sorry, it just worked out that way. I don't always alliterate, but this one did. All right, number one, quickly, you have one of three responses. The first response I want to share with you tonight is when you hear the word Jesus and you're to worship Him, some people use rebellious. Some people are rebellious in their response. Especially today, it seems like, more for me. There was a couple years ago, and I shared this even in a sermon, I used to bat almost 100%. I mean, I was batting 1,000. I would share Jesus Christ with somebody, and man, they were just coming to Christ. And I was able to lead them up and get them baptized, and now my percentages are down, and I'm saying, God, what's going on? And God has shown me through His Word, even right here, that today there's a rebellious spirit. Now, I say that, and if you look at the Bible in the context that we just read, I want to give you a picture of what that looks like. Because it's right here in the Scriptures. King Herod had a rebellious spirit. His response was immediately that of fear. He was threatened by the claim of Christ. And I'm going to share this with you real quick. Remember when I read it and the Magi, the wise men showed up and they said, "We are here to see the king that is born king of the Jews." The word born, underlined. See, Herod was a half-Jew. I don't know if you guys knew this. Herod was half-Jew and half-not-Jew, half something else, probably Roman. And with that, that's not good. Because the king of the Jew had to be a Jew. Amen? And so Herod had a sign over his office and it said king of the Jews. But he was only king of the Jews because he was an elected king of the Jews. He was only half a Jew. So when the Magi showed up, the wise men, they went to Herod, king of the Jews. My kids like when I do that. Yeah, I'm Christian. I always do that. I don't know why I do that. Anyway, they went up and said, "Hey, king of the Jews, where's the one that was born king of the Jews? The real dude. Where's he?" Herod's like, "I don't like that. I'm the king of the Jews." No, the real one. No offense. The real one. He was threatened. And he became rebellious because of that. Some of us, when we hear Jesus, we become threatened by the claims of Christ. You mean Christ the king, not me the king? Amen or oh me, right? My father-in-law's here, so I threw that in here for him. So he made that famous. You mean me the king or Christ the king? When we hear about Jesus, sometimes we have a rebellious spirit, and our response is that of rebellious. See, when we take Jesus as to our real king, and we worship Him with all our heart and soul and might, we have to make a choice. See, Jesus always uplifts and never upsets. Jesus always affirms and never angers. Jesus has insight to our life, and He should not be a threat. Jesus should transform us and not trouble us. Quickly, number two. As we look at number two, the word I want to give you is the religious response. I'm in line one day, and hey, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Yeah, the Bible says in John 3:16, the person will say, and they'll quote John 3:16. That's a religious response, which is okay. Which is okay. But in the context of Matthew, I want to show you this in verses 4 through 6. It says, "And assembling all the chief priests and scribes." These were all the lawyers and all the biblicists, all the expositors, all the people that knew the Old Testament front and back. Herod called them, and the wise men called them, and the wise men went to them and said, "Hey, you biblical people, you lawyers that are super smart with all this school, where is the king of the Jews?" And they said, "Oh, read Micah. Micah 5:2 says he's going to be born here. He's going to be here. He's going to go." It was the religious thing. Quickly, I want to show you what that means. If you're taking notes, or if you'd like to turn real fast in your Bible, 1 Thessalonians 4. It would be like that today here. What if this happened? Let me read the scripture to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, if you're taking notes. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry and a command." People, this hasn't happened yet. This is fixing to happen. So I know my Bible, so I know that soon that Christ is going to descend from heaven with a loud shout. One of you is here. Thanks, Dan. "And listen, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise." So if I'm giving a religious response, I hear this big shout, I hear this this trumpet blast, I look outside and out of my backyard, these dead people are going up. Let's keep going. It gets even better. "Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So it'd be like the people in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, which is Matthew chapter 2, but the scribes and Pharisees, they saw the star. They knew the date because of Daniel. That's a whole deep sermon. They knew that the Messiah was to be born this day and year and month. They saw the star. Everything happened, and they just sat there and went, yeah, the Bible says it's going to happen. I'll tell you what, when I hear the trumpet blow, and I hear see Jesus descending, and I see old people going up that were dead, I'm going to start shouting, amen, because I know I'm fixing to catch on their coattails. I'm going to be 6 feet behind them and going up with them, because the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they're 6 feet. Do you get the math? Amen, a little kid said. My math's right. Praise the Lord. But these guys gave the religious response, yeah, the Jesus should be around here somewhere. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, you know. Come on, we got to get excited about this. These are people that studied their Bible, but they did not obey it. Ooh, that kind of hurt. See, academic responses only indicate to me that they're studying their Bible hard, but they're not applying what the Word says. We got to love people. So heavenly-minded, Dan, I'm going to give you a quote. I don't know if this, I hear Dan say this a lot. They were so heavenly-minded, they were no earthly good. All right? Be careful for that. Does the Bible really mean what it says to you? Number three, and we're going to close with this one. The correct response when you hear the word Jesus should be the reverence or the reverent response. Now, I'm going to give you a couple things real quick. Write these down. How do you know that you're responding right when you hear the word Jesus? Are you worshiping God? Number one, it should always be an active participation. I had you underline this word in verse 2. It says, I'm going to read a little bit of verse 1. The wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying. That's a Greek word there that means continually on and on and on. They were going to every street corner, Callan, and they were going, do you know where Jesus is? And they would say, go to the Pharisees and the scribes. And they were running, saying all the time, do you know where Jesus is? Do you know where he's at? We've come to worship him. Do you know where he's at? They were begging. That word saying means continually. It's a participle that I don't want to go into the Greek. But just get it. You have to actively participate with Christ. Ask where he's at. Actively immersing yourself, if you will, into a relationship of participating. Not popping in and out of what Jesus is doing. Not popping in and out of churches here and there. Not popping in and out of, oh, I need to pray today and forget tomorrow. But an active participant. Always doing it. Always doing it. Always doing it. Not just knowledge of God, but immersion in the active participation of God. Number two, quickly. When you have a reverent response to the word Jesus in your life, you have a radical joy. Look at verse 10. A radical joy. And I wish I had time to break this down for you in the Greek, but it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That's a whole lot of words to say. They didn't just go, wow, it's Christmas. These guys were pumped. And they had joy. And the problem with today in America, and I'm almost getting ready to say 2010 because that's like a week away, right? The problem with America today is that we think happiness and joy are the same thing, and they're not. Joy is when you're in deep, dark, whatever. Joy is when things are going wrong in your life, but you wake up and you go, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We've been found. The light has come. Happiness is when, well, I'm just happy. You know, happy is when you get to the tree in the morning and there's a present there, amen? But then that breaks and goes away. Well, sorry, kids. You know, when my kids were growing up, we'd get them all these toys because I used to have a job. And they would play with the box. And I'd look at Lisa and say, take it back, keep the box. Happiness and joy are not the same, people, but when you have Christ, you have radical joy. You're praising God. I almost had to jump up when they were singing that song and say hallelujah, but I should have. Jesus gives you an excitement even during a period of difficult circumstances. Number three, we must, when we have the right response, which is a reverent response to God, we have a humble submission. Verse 11, it's right there in your copy of God's Word. And going into the house, they saw the child. They saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped her. Him! They fell down and worshipped him. They were humble in their submission. These were kings, the Bible says. These were the representatives of nations, hundreds of nations, kings with, we'll find out in a minute, money, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were big dogs. They had the t-shirt, big dog. And they walked in and they got down Paracrypto, if you were here Sunday. Paracrypto! These kings fell down before a child about 2 years old and said, we will humbly submit ourselves to you because you are the legitimate king. And I'm here to tell you today, kids, listen, this Christmas, Jesus is the legitimate king. And he's your Savior. Quickly, number four, they had sacrificial giving. Oh, I knew if I came to church tonight, he'd talk about money. This ain't about money. This is about sacrificial giving. Look what it says in verse 11 again as we read on the rest of that verse. So they Mary and his mother, they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. That's gold and incense, if you will, if you want to use an American word or an English version. And myrrh. Sacrificial giving. See, you don't follow Christ in reverence without it affecting what you use your money for. Oh, I wish I could say that again. I guess I will. You don't follow Christ in reverence without it affecting you in how you spend your money. People, I'm just going to tell you just a second here. We, our congregation and our denomination, we have 5,600 missionaries overseas right now in over 200 countries. 5,600. And we support them through our giving. And I was just told today, because I'm on a board, I'm on a board. I was told today that we have to retract 600 of those missionaries come January 1. 600 of those, I have to be a part of a letter that's going to go out, and it's going to say, because we don't have enough money, you've got to come back from serving God, and you've got to live over here. We can't keep you over there serving God. People, sacrificial giving comes down to when we have a reverent response to Christ, we give. Pastor, I don't have any money. I know. But we still got to give. And I'm just throwing that out to you today because at the end of this service, we're going to have an offering. And that offering goes to what we call at this church, Lottie Moon. And that offering is going to be passed down to Lottie Moon to try to tell it so I can tell those 600 families, you can stay. Because there's 50,000 Southern Baptist churches in America today. And if all 50,000 of us will give just a little bit, I can maybe write a letter and say, hey, stay. Amen? That's something to get excited about right there. But that's where we're at. So at the end of the service, we're going to have that. And then, since I'm talking about that, every time we do communion at this church, I have ushers at the door, and that's a benevolence. They'll be there with a what do you call that thing? A plate. I'm thinking about sour cream and gelato. They're going to be there with a plate. And every dime you put into that is going to go to help families in our community right here that maybe wake up tomorrow and don't have a Christmas. People, they're all over. We're going to feed them. We're going to give them stuff. That's our benevolence fund. That's at the end of this service, just so you know. And I'm going to close with this. Number, is it five? There's an inconvenient obedience. Look at verse 12. This struck me as I studied this. And they were warned in a dream, and they were told not to return to Herod. And underline this. They departed to their own country by another way. By another way. Sometimes serving God is an inconvenient obedience. Sometimes it's inconvenient to serve God. Well, you mean I got to go to that family that's suffering and hurting and needs food, and I got to go get them food? Yeah, it might be inconvenient, but if God tells you, praise the Lord, go do it. See, rebellious people and religious people are all over this community. And they're not willing to go out of their way. If you will, to do God's work. Don't let them get in your path and slow you down. But go out of your way. See, a life yielded to Him, Jesus. A life yielded to Jesus is worthy to be praised. I ask you this question today. How have you responded to Jesus? Out of those three, how have you responded to Jesus? Right now, we're going to have a time of communion, but before we do that, Michelle's going to play. And I'm just going to ask you, you know, the Bible says before you take communion, you need to be a fully devoted believer, meaning that you need to be right with God. You need to have Christ in your heart. And the Bible's real clear in 1 Corinthians and all through the New Testament when Paul writes that as we take the Lord's Supper or communion, if we have something against somebody or our brother, we need to make that right. So before we take communion, we're going to have an altar call where me and Pastor Stacy will be down here. If you just need to pray about anything, your health. You need to pray about your job, about your finances, about your brother. I'm going to ask you to come in just a minute and pray with us. And then during that, I'm going to lead you into a time of prayer for communion. And I got deacons that are going to be at these tables, and we're going to do communion like this tonight. If you're here with your family, I'm going to ask you to take your family and to gather around. There'll be a deacon there. If you want him to pray with you, he will. But dads, if you're here, or moms, and you want to pray with your family, go ahead and pray. And you'll just simply take a little piece of the bread and put it in your mouth and give God a little prayer. And then just take a little cup of the juice and give God a little prayer. But how neat it would be to come with your family. And if you're here without a family, I'll be your family. I love y'all. And I'll do it with you. Don't be afraid. Will you stand with me? The first stanza, if you just need to pray,